From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Every Friday afternoon, from October to May, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report on the progress of the flu season.
Today's numbers show flu activity is at low levels across the country. New York is the only state with regional flu outbreaks. There are localized cases in parts of Texas. Elsewhere, flu is either sporadic or non-existent.
This system for watching flu is designed to detect an epidemic in its earliest stages. But researchers say more could be done, as NPR's Joanne Silberna reports.
CDC epidemiologists collect flu numbers in many ways. They look at deaths in 122 cities, reports from over 1,000 healthcare providers. Public and private medical labs also check in. All that tells CDC epidemiologist Lynette Brammer what's going on.
Where is flu activity occurring across the U.S.? Is it going up? Is it coming down? What kind of impact is it having? You know, are we seeing more deaths because influenza is circulating? Or are we seeing a big increase in physician visits because of influenza?
The idea is to let doctors in the community know what they're dealing with in real time.
It can help them make better decisions about how you would want to treat those patients. And also, you know, it's good to know how closely the circulating viruses are matching the viruses that are in the vaccine.
If, like last year, the vaccine isn't well matched to the virus that's circulating, doctors will realize that even their vaccinated patients may be unprotected. People who study the flu say the numbers are great for what they are, an early warning system. But the numbers aren't that great for people like Ira Longini. Longini is a professor of biostatistics at Emory University. He designs computer models of how the flu can spread. Longini had better numbers to work with back in the 1970s and early 80s, when the government sponsored studies that monitored everyone in four communities across the country. He can't use the numbers from back then today.
Demographically, the population has changed since the 70s. There's great use of daycare centers. The population is aging.
Exposure is different. So is vulnerability. The data just don't give him enough to determine accurately how this year's flu is likely to spread and who should get limited supplies of vaccines or antiviral drugs. Take what's called the P&I data, the number of excess deaths from pneumonia and influenza.
And the P&I data doesn't really tell you which age groups the virus is spreading in. It simply tells you where the virus is most virulent and who has the highest probability of death due to influenza.
Then there's the information that comes from the healthcare providers.
We know 28 kids in this physician's practice had an influenza-like illness. We don't know how big the practice was.
Or how many people remained healthy or went to other doctors or rode out the flu without seeing a doctor. So there's no way precisely to calculate the incidence or what age group is getting hit hardest. Dr. Arnold S. Monto of the University of Michigan has been studying the flu for more than 30 years. Monto says the CDC's numbers entirely miss a lot of people.
From our data, I would estimate that what we call typical influenza, cough and fever and constitutional or, you know, aching all over and headache, those kinds of symptoms occur in only about 20% or less of individuals who actually get influenza illness.
It varies from subtype to subtype, but in general, most people have a milder illness. Some have no symptoms at all. The CDC's Brammer says she knows her agency's data are somewhat limited.
We don't make any attempt to count cases or to even catalog all the outbreaks that occur every year. Influenza is just too big a disease to do that.
Without knowing the total number of people who get sick, the CDC's numbers can't be used to generate the figure that Monto wants most, how much the flu costs the nation. He thinks the number is huge.
If we could make the case that an improved influenza vaccine, for example, will have a greater impact, it might be worth developing and paying for a newly developed influenza vaccine.
But generating those numbers means having more information at hand than is being collected today. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.